Good morning, good evening, wherever you are across the world and the universe. Welcome to my Quantum Living Podcast at the intersection of science and spirituality. I'm your host, Anna Anderson, quantum coach and teacher, intuitive guide, and above all, an inquisitive soul. This podcast is about how we can bring the various spiritual, metaphysical, and esoteric concepts validated by quantum physics and modern cosmology to the very practical level to improve and enrich our life experience as individuals, communities, and the humankind. Whether you are listening to this show while driving or commuting, doing chores around the house, relaxing on a couch, or flying in a spaceship across the galaxy, I hope you'll enjoy today's episode. Okay, let's begin. Hello and welcome back to Quantum Living. Today we've got a fascinating episode for you, so get comfy and you might even want to have a pen and paper handy to take some notes. Energy healing is a trendy and juicy topic right at the edge where science meets spirituality. There is a rapidly growing number of people who have discovered, trained in, and practice energy healing across many different healing modalities. This is also a huge topic because ultimately everything is energy. Our physical and non-physical body, our thoughts and emotions. And so every healing modality is effectively energy healing, which is something we may be unaware of or tend to forget. I feel that we are still in diapers when it comes to the level and extent of our knowledge and understanding of energy healing, and so much is still waiting to be discovered in this field. Energy healing is also one of my favorite topics as I work with energy daily in my own practice with clients, and I do energy healing on myself as well. So I'm absolutely thrilled about my today's guest and what we are going to talk about. My special guest today is Paola Marie Scatoloni. Paola is a somatic coach, mentor, intuitive sound healer, writer, and speaker, with over 3 decades of experience in modern psychology, neuroscience, somatics, and various healing and contemplative practices. Paola offers a unique blend of knowledge and intuitive wisdom in her work with clients. Paola also has her own podcast titled Embodied, Stepped Into You, co-hosted with Leslie Ryan. You will find more information about Paola and her work on my podcast website at quantumlivingpodcast.com. Hello, Paola. Welcome to Quantum Living. It's so great to have you on my show.
Thank you, Anna. It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Lovely. To start off, could you please tell us how did you become interested and involved in energy healing and found your calling on this path?
I love that question. I think I am one of many psychotherapists that you may have noticed that are emerging beyond the box that we've been given because we have found that maybe it's a natural calling, but also the box is not large enough to help us at this time to tackle some of what is being asked. So I'm coming from the field of psychotherapy, and my entrance into energy work, I would say, began during my psychotherapy training, although I did not know that was part of it. I was in the very early days of understanding Gestalt therapy and focusing. These are things people might have heard about from the 1990s. And I didn't think of them as energy healing modalities at the time. However, when I became trained in somatic experiencing in the early, around 2013 is when I started, I began to understand body psychotherapy through the lens of working with energy and energy dynamics. And so then I could trace back and consider that I had been working in the field for a while, but not calling it that. And somatic experiencing led me into understanding how energy moves through the body and the natural transgression into touch work. And through what we call somatic touch, I began to understand that there was a whole nother world that I have not been trained in. And that naturally led me beyond into core shamanism and Reiki and biofield tuning. So I've been around the block looking at energy from different angles for a while.
Thank you so much for sharing. And yes, it does sound like a very natural progression. The current narrative of pursuing the right balance in our life with quantum science and spirituality in the trinity of mind, body, and spirit is focused mainly on the mind and spirit and speaks of the body as vibrating energy, which it is. However, I feel that we are somewhat neglecting our body in its physical form, flesh, blood, and bones, which is really our primary experience in this 3D existence and its role in the expression of our holistic being. So to set the scene for our conversation about energy healing, let's talk about somatics and somatic experience, also known as embodiment. Could you please explain what it is and whether it is disconnected from the holistic mind-body-spirit expression of who we are?
Yes, that's a great question. Broadly, in the field of somatics, there's an understanding that the mind and body are connected. So it's our ability to use the body to influence the mind. And as we move through different schools of somatics, we'll find different approaches to that. Many people are trained in different types of body-based modalities. As we start to understand therapy and body-based psychotherapy, then we enter into another dimension of that, where there's an understanding of how we process information through the body, and that influences our emotions, our beliefs, and then how we engage relationally. And so the body becomes the hub of understanding that. Now, what might be left out in these schools of thought that I've trained in, and I've trained in several, is the spiritual aspect. Because psychotherapists, it's not often a part of the conversation, right? So in somatic experiencing, where I'm trained, we simply referred to the area around the body as the field, which is a very condensed way of talking about the biofield. And when things occur in a somatic session, as you know, when we enter into the healing space, we are entering into the energetic blueprint of the individual, and the possibilities of what we might encounter are very broad. And depending on what school of somatics you're trained in, there's space for that or not.
Interesting. Thank you for explaining this. So it is not disconnected. It is very much connected, but with a lesser inclusion of the spiritual aspect of it, as you said. Now, speaking of spirituality, and I would like to bring this topic at this point of our conversation. All healing is effectively energy healing, as I've said, at different frequencies. Even allopathic medicine with drugs that affect the body at the subatomic level, hence energy level, changing the chemistry of our blood and the processes in the body. Now, the first question that usually comes up in a conversation about energy healing is, does energy healing require psychic abilities, an open sixth sense? And the most common answer is no, anyone can do energy healing. Well, I disagree. Respectfully, I disagree. My intuitive view is based on the key distinction between all energy healing modalities, those that use a tangible or recognizable source of energy or a tool, such as sound, color, light, acupuncture, acupressure, crystals, herbs, essential oils, massage, and all body work, etc. And those modalities that work directly with a subtle energy in the quantum field without any tool, such as Reiki and all remote healing, hands-on healing, visualization, and meditation. So my view is that anyone can learn and practice energy healing in the first category using tools or sources of energy. However, to work with energy healing in the second category does require an open sixth sense, with the exception perhaps of visualization and meditation, but these are self-healing modalities. But when we are talking about energy healing, while working directly with subtle energies we offer to other people, the healer, in my view, needs to have their sixth channel or sense open, be sensitive to energy, and be able to lower their own brain frequency down to theta level, between 4 and 8 hertz frequency, which is the carrier wave of the healing energy. Then the healer's energy is available to the patient to entrain their own energy to the same healing frequency which their intelligent body uses where needed. So modalities that use a source or a tool versus modalities that work with energy directly. Could you please speak to this? I'm very interested to hear your view.
So I'm smiling as you speak about this, Anna, because I agree with you that there are differences.
Great.
Many people using tools, right? And on my platform or schools, I speak about the provider's own embodied presence as being a primary vehicle for the delivery of the tool. So you can have one level of healing with the tool, but the provider's ability to be embodied, to be an open channel, and to have, I call the heart, the great oscillator, at least in the way that I use sound, that allows the energy to flow from the provider to this space in between them and the client. And so it is a combination of those that create a potent healing modality as opposed to just the tool or just the provider. And when we combine them, boy, do we have fireworks. And that's why I love what I do, because it is the combination. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I was also smiling as you were speaking, because I totally agree with you. And what I'm hearing is that there are practitioners who are focused only on the tool and may have mastered the tool, but there is still something missing in the full delivery or participation in the healing process, versus those practitioners who are not only heart-centered, but have opened their intuitive senses and can feel and sense energy, because it just can work much better with it. So, referring to your own experience, at which point in your energy healing training did you incorporate or start incorporating the opening of your sixth sense, or your, well, I wouldn't call it psychic abilities necessarily, but your intuition, your ability to sense energy and work with it, that aspect that goes beyond the physical?
Well, I am an unusual person to ask this to, because of my training in somatic experiencing. In that particular method of somatic therapy, you are required to have your own sessions. And so there's a three-year program and then many, many sessions. And so you end up by the end of that as a biofeedback machine. So I can track people's body through my body. And that's an intuitive ability, right? Is the ability to intuit what your nervous system is doing from across the computer screen. Yeah. And so for me, that came from having many, many, many sessions and clearing all the debris so that I could listen accurately through my body. And so it evolved over time as I moved through that particular program. And then when I began to, beyond that, use touch, then more information was available, right? So there was another couple years of training of how do you discern that information. But remembering, I'm trained in the nervous system. So initially, what I'm tracking are freeze responses in your body and places of stagnation. But as I continued with the touch, I began to see images and start interacting with, for example, the inner child or memories or things that I didn't have, you know, that training. So then I began to explore beyond the psychotherapy realm into energy healing and speak to other therapists that were using touch and listening and engaging with their clients through multiple levels of experience.
How interesting. So did you have those abilities developed naturally, or did you notice that they were developing as you were progressing through your energy healing training, or both?
I think that I have always been an empath and an intuitive, and has dismissed that as a skill set. Maybe intuition. Many therapists, that's a safe place, right? But beyond that, I think it evolved. But I will say my interpretation for myself was, as I cleared the trauma in my body, those skills heightened naturally because there was less competing information and less of my energy going to manage the survival energy in my body. So more of it freed up. And then I developed more of my clairs because of that. And that is consistent with what I see in my groups. As the trauma physiology shifts, the clairs open naturally.
Thank you. And you mentioned a very important point, or in fact, an important word, which is an empath. So thank you, because I don't think we need to necessarily speak of psychic abilities or psychic skills to be able to work as energy healer. But I think that to be an empath, which is the first step, if you like, to opening up your intuition and your psychic senses, is really important. Lovely. Could you please speak briefly and speak to a couple of interesting case studies that could show us not only a little bit of the process that you're going through with the patient, but also demonstrate the effectiveness of somatic healing?
So again, the way that I use somatic experiencing is mixed with the sound. So I'll speak to the programs that I use, which are specific sound frequencies that stimulate what is known as your social engagement system. It's your relational neurological mechanisms of your relational system. So your eyes, your ears, your throat, your heart. And it also innervates the vagus nerve. So we're sending sound to the vagus nerve and innervating. And you know that nerve hits every chakra. So we're innervating every chakra. It also invites, through specific frequencies of the human voice, you into deeper states of safety, which then allows the subconscious to start bringing material up that's been held out of awareness. And so you begin to, similar to, for myself, it's similar, I say it's similar to going on a psychedelic or shamanic journey, where you're going to encounter memories or states that you can then be with and either bring healing to through the body's own self mechanism,
or just be with and feel so that the experience processes. And so for case example, I think of many people that come through my groups and in particular who may have a tendency to hold back her emotions, right? From her partner, to censor, right? Her words. And it's a long-term pattern relationally, like of holding back my truth. And through the vehicle of the sound program and the intention that is set there, she will progress through the six-week journey, coming maybe into contact with the memories that were associated to that, or other times in her life where there are relational wounds that still need healing. And as those clear and she experiences the emotions around it, and she experiences more and more safety in the body, she finds simultaneously in her life that she begins to A, have more feelings and be aware of them and have all that interceptive cues coming from the gut start to tell her what she likes, what she doesn't like, what's okay, what's not okay. And then a softening of the defenses, softening of those ways that she's contracted in the physiology. And then out of her mouth comes the truth, right? Without it being censored. And it may come out very choppy at first. And eventually there's, you know, more of a comfort level in being able to speak her truth in her relationships. But so the whole process of contraction and shutting down aspects of ourself are that's invited to shift in the type of work that I do and the way that I use sound. The ways that we keep ourselves small in our relationships, I'm inviting that to shift. And so that's an example of what might happen in one of the sound journeys.
So what sort of issues can be healed through the type of somatic healing that you do? Physical, emotional, mental?
All of the above. Because the nervous system is the hub for our foundational regulation. And we can look at many of our current chronic health conditions and health conditions as being influenced by the nervous system. When we interact with it at that intimate level, the capacity for change in your life is pretty big. And so it can be very concrete in terms of experiencing more regulation and feeling less of a need to reach for food to regulate. Experiencing more regulation and having deeper sleep and dreams and a sense of restedness when you wake up in the morning. Experiencing heightened regulation and feeling like you have more capacity to handle stress. And you can stay present rather than going into your own states of reactivity. So those are more common things we might find with the providers that use sound in the way that I do. But if we add that intuitive healing piece to it, then we know that sound works with intention. And in my groups, the intention is for deep inner child healing. And so there's an invitation for those memories to come in to awareness so that we can meet and greet and hold them and help those process. And that's when we get into deep transformative change, because we start to meet those places where we've made decisions about who we are and we limited ourselves based on those relational interactions, right? And we can start to unglue some of that constriction so that more of the core self, the uninhibited version of us can come forward with spontaneity, with playfulness, with a sense of wonder and awe for life, because all that is not being held back anymore or being recruited for survival. So if you If you had a childhood where you needed to focus on being safe, then all your energy was going towards that. Like it's not, we don't have the energy then for the awe and the wonder and the play and the creativity, right? If everything's being recruited for survival. But if we start to tend to that with the sound and with the intuitive healing, we get those things back again.
Is your healing modality passive, or does it engage the patient or the client?
I'd say there's a combination. It's delivered passively because you are putting on sound. I call it microdosing with sound. So you're putting on the sound, and then there's an invitation to ingest and allow, as you would any type of energy healing. But as you're doing that, then material is going to come up. And as the material comes up, the memories or the beliefs, then we might move into something more interactive and talk about it and take a pause and either process or just bring more of the compassionate witness on board so that you can be with whatever is being shown to you to allow that to complete and integrate and shift into something new. So it depends on the person's skill set. I work a lot with somatic providers who can see memories and watch memories and traverse material without needing to stop so much because there's a comfort level in what they're seeing or experiencing. Someone who doesn't have that might need to stop after 15 minutes of listening, which is what we do in the sound labs, to give them a chance to catch their breath and just talk about what's happening. And again, my interventions might be very small. It might be a somatic tool that I give you to try, something to put in your hand or a suggestion to move perhaps a little bit. Or it might be more of a therapeutic intervention, such as bringing in that compassion for the inner child and holding space for what's being shown.
Lovely. I have developed a model organizing the energy healing modalities across 10 levels, which I'd like to briefly share and then invite you to comment on how this model resonates with you, pun intended, and how it fits into your work and experience. So this model organizes, as I said, the healing modalities, all healing modalities, or the key categories of the healing modalities across 10 levels based on the frequency with which they transfer information to the body in an increasingly subtle way. None is better than the other, and every level has its role and place. And if you were to envisage a diagram, these levels start at the bottom and move up on the frequency level or the frequency ladder. The first level is the allopathic medicine with drugs and surgery. Allopathy is the treatment of disease by conventional means, with drugs having the effects opposite to the symptoms. The second level of healing is therapeutic massage and bodywork therapies, such as chiropractic and osteopathic manipulation, Alexander technique, yoga, tai chi, and all kinds of exercise that move the body. The third level of healing, as we move up the subtle energies ladder, is acupuncture and acupressure. While acupuncture is invasive and acupressure is not, they both work with the body meridians, thus affecting the flow of energy. The fourth level of healing is herbs and plants used as medicine, homeopathy, naturopathy, and various herbal extracts, or herbalism. Here, the specific frequency of the plant resonates with the body cells in a particular way, correcting the vibrational incoherence, which then restores their natural balance and health. And as I understand, this is the oldest healing modality known to people in the post-Atlantis era. The fifth level of healing is healing with crystals, water, both seawater and freshwater, in rivers and lakes, and the sun. The sixth level of healing is laying hands on the body or in its proximity. This includes hands-on Reiki, reconnection, chakra healing, emotional freedom technique, Donna Eden's energy medicine, working with the body meridians and other energy systems of the etheric body. The seventh level of energy healing are strongly vibrational modalities that can be measured somehow, such as sound healing, color healing, and aromatherapy, as well as biofield fork tuning, which is a subset of sound healing. Sound healing has several submodalities, in fact, including Tibetan singing bowls, gongs, solfeggio frequencies, classical music with certain characteristics such as Mozart and Vivaldi music, and many others. The eighth level of healing is plant medicine, such as ayahuasca and magic mushrooms, which activate the pineal gland and open up the portal to other dimensions. This is an extremely potent modality, which must be used with caution, ideally under the guidance of an experienced shaman, as it can produce severe side effects, both physical and psychological. The ninth level of healing is self-healing with thought. This includes various meditation and visualization techniques. And the 10th level of healing, which is the most advanced, is remote healing of another person. How does this model resonate with you? And is any particular level speaking to you more strongly than others? What are your thoughts?
I love this. I love that you have sat and sat with this. I have not. So I'm very impressed, and my brain is going all over the place. But I think where my ears started to perk up and how I'm thinking about this as I'm looking at the list, because I was writing as you spoke, I do feel that we're talking about frequency and what holds the most potential for frequency. And at first I thought you were going to put sound at the top. But as we start to move beyond the sound, we come into a conversation about relationality and relational frequencies and the potency of, you know, plants are relationship. They're living, breathing relationship. Your own capacity to be with yourself is a relationship. And then the person who is able to do remote healing, if you are of that nature, then you're using the space in between as a relationship. There's a relational exchange that's happening in the field between you, in the dimensions between you. And so, so that was where I started to think about. I think for myself, I kind of focus on from seven up, I would say, is what I'm doing. Because I don't work physically with people, it's all remote. And so we're bringing in the sound. We are guiding people through what is fairly similar to a shamanic journey. We're enhancing their ability for self-healing. And I'm working multidimensionally with them. So all of the above. And I suppose that is why it is quite potent in its effect, because there's multiple levels of healing that's happening.
Thank you. And you actually have answered my next question, which was about remote healing with your type of healing. So it's not just pure, say, remote energy healing, but with sound, etc. So thank you. Now, I find it interesting that you describe those higher levels of healing as relationships or relational. Could you please elaborate on this a little bit?
Sure. From my perspective, the frequency of pure unconditional love is the highest frequency we can live from. And that is a relational frequency. It's the frequency of relationship, right? With in its purest form. And so when we can embody that in our bones, in our fascia, in our organs, when all of us are oscillating in that frequency, then we are emanating that. And in the presence of that, we invite the person sitting across from us, whatever is not in that frequency, to begin to shift. And so we can then begin to influence people simply with our presence.
Lovely. Thank you. Could you please speak briefly or describe the difference between pure sound healing, where a person is listening to music or a particular sound, versus biofield tuning with a fork?
Yes. But I think it's just different ways of using sound frequencies to influence, where the technology-driven sound frequencies are introducing something. First of all, it's technology, with which some people cannot ingest because they're so sensitive. So I have come across people that find them not helpful. So technology-driven usage of sound is different because we're introducing something that has been altered, right, by human hands. However, we can work with different frequencies to either do different things, to shift the right brain to the left brain and take people into deep parasympathetic states, to take them into states of beta, theta healing, depending on, right, the program. We'll also take them into trance-like states as they would with shamanic practices. So with the rhythmicity and the frequency and the pulse, so we can manipulate it. And with that type of healing, I think of that as you're going to a buffet, but anything is possible. And we don't really know what's going to heal, but we trust the sound is going to go where it needs to go, and that change will start to take place. So we're introducing, it's an additive process, something resonates, and we're going to hold the space and with intention and trust the process unfolding, areas of tension, places that are stuck. With biofield tuning, I call that sound surgery, because with the tuning fork, you can get very specific around where you're going and what you're going to focus on, and even capture with the fork a specific, almost like a pie, piece of the biofield, and work with just that area as if you were doing surgery to traverse the field and the memories all the way through from gestation to present moment. Whereas with other types of sound frequencies, it's very broad. And that means for me that we need to use our mind and intention to set the container, to invite healing to take place. Then we turn the sound on. So they both will promote healing, but each are just a little different in how they are doing. I also feel with that more broader type of sound healing, if we go back to our discussion about the provider, right, being a primary mechanism, if you're inclined to use both, the degree of embodiment and attunement of the provider and the container that's set
also will allow for deeper healing to take place if that is the intention. So for example, in my sound labs, we will invite ancestral healing. We will invite collective healing because the container is big enough to hold all of that.
Okay. When I do energy healing on myself, I often feel it more like removing the negative energy that causes an imbalance. If there is something in particular that I want to heal, to allow the body heal itself as perfect health is its natural state of being, rather than using energy healing as a corrective process. And in fact, I quite often literally remove with my hands negative energy from my energy field. So removing the negative energy that is blocking something within the body, and it could be a trauma, obviously, versus seeing it as a corrective process. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it can be both. I do agree there's times where we pick up things that are not ours, right? And that it's in our best interest to release that and not carry that with us. I also believe that if we think of the potential that what we are attracting is coming in to help us to come into deeper awareness of ourselves, we can also work with what is happening in my body and what am I being invited to be with. And again, bring that relationality to it to explore, is this something for me to look at within myself? And so sometimes it's energy that's not mine and I'm attracted, and sometimes we are brought into awareness of a spot congestion because there's something we need to be with. So it's the distinction between those.
Thank you. Now, sometimes energy healing doesn't work. And the key issue here is that when we are offering energy healing to someone, there needs to be, I believe, an agreement or acceptance of the healing energy or to go through the healing process at the deepest level within the person. So we can talk about the higher self agreement or the soul agreement. In essence, there needs to be some sort of agreement and consent to go through the healing process. So my question here is, what are the key concerns and rules, in fact, in energy healing practice and ethics before we proceed with the healing? Is, from your point of view, a deeper conversation or deeper investigation required, whether the healing is wanted or needed or the patient will benefit from it? So this is a fairly complex area, but it is so important. So could you please address this and speak to this point for a moment?
Boy, Anna, you do ask some deep questions that I love. And we do think alike. I love that. You bring me to some questions, certainly, that I ponder with those that I train. And I've come to the conclusion that our role is to be in service of the highest good for the person, whatever is in their highest good. And we don't know what is in their highest good because that is a conversation for them and their soul.
which does take us into, you know, another discussion of, you know, what that means. And so I stay away in my practice from the notion of fixing. And I speak more of recalibration and bringing you into alignment in whatever way that means, to allow you to come into, sometimes it's a deeper understanding about a perspective that you've struggled with. But it might not be to resolve a symptom, right? Because I may not be privy to the whole story about why that symptom is there. And that's a conversation for you to have with your soul. So in my role and what I do, I create the container for that conversation to be more accessible, for you to have more of a connection to your higher self, to begin to hold all of your life circumstances through the lens of the soul, which is a big, you know, can be a big leap for people.
Yes. And actually, as you were speaking just then, I got an insight that sometimes energy healing or this type of healing is useful or maybe even needed at times solely for the purpose of helping the person going through an illness, for example, to simply come to terms with their own passing and the end of this life.
I agree. And there may be something in the healing process of receiving that needs to be there for completion.
Okay, thank you. So, Paula, could you now please tell us a little bit more about your programs, your courses, how people can contact you? And just briefly, obviously, I will include all the links in the show notes. What are your offerings and whether people can receive your healing remotely, or do they need to come and see you wherever you are? So could you please speak to this for a moment? Thank you.
Sure, Anna. The thing that I'm most known for at this time is my signature course, which is called Rebirthing Ourselves. And this is the combination of the modern sound healing with the biofield therapy. And the course itself helps people to understand the evolution of the soul, but also how our inner child wounds stack up and how they influence us in our relationships and in being able to move towards what we want and away from what we don't want in life. And so there's layers to it, and it does involve sound healing developed the program by a scientist, Dr. Stephen Porges. And so there's some education about the science and then some very practical things included in it as well, in terms of learning about somatics and the nervous system and how your body responds to threat and how to take care of yourself and increase your own relationship with some of the places that may still be hurts and wounds that are still taking their toll on you or your nervous system. So that's my signature course. And then I'm also here for providers themselves who are ready to begin to use sound therapeutically or interested in biofield therapy. And they would like to work with someone who can hold all of it. So I can hold traditional psychotherapy, I can hold Jungian psychotherapy, I can hold somatic psychotherapy, as well as the biofield tuning and the sound and biofield therapy. So the person, the type of therapist who is working holistically is going to be drawn to my mentorship and my programs, because it's hard for them to know where to go next. Once you've had so much training, where do I go next? And they might not want to go into an energy healing program. So they might come to me where I'm still speaking and bringing in some of the therapeutic language and weaving in the nervous system, but they're starting their education around the biofield. And so those are the things I'm mostly known for at this point. And I try to create a community so people can support each other and, but also continue their own healing and growth.
So I am here to help as others help me. I'm turning around and helping, you know, those who come to my community as well.
So people can sign up for your programs online, yes, on your website.
Yes, I'm only remote, and have my community is worldwide, and it's lovely, right, to be able to meet people from all over the world. And the programs are short. They're 6 weeks or 7 weeks. And there is some investment in yourself. I think it's a big investment in yourself and being willing to sit with yourself and unpack some of the places that are still blocking you from feeling your best.
And of course, as I mentioned earlier, you have your own podcast.
Yes, I do. So Leslie Ryan is a yoga instructor and therapist and embodiment specialist as well. And she and I wanted to create a platform to chat about some of the things that we, just as you and I are chatting, the intersection of somatics and science and spirituality. And to have some of the conversations, I think there's a lot of people right now having experiences and trying to keep up with all the changes that are happening in the world, in their lives. And so having places similar to this podcast where we can listen, ingest, contemplate, chew on some different ways of holding and understanding what's happening in the world, what's happening in our bodies, what's being asked of us at this time as we're shifting as humans into new ways of being in the world, new ways of being with ourselves. And so we're one of those places to come and learn. And I love offering a free resource, and we're building our community now and having a growing community for the podcast. So it's really exciting.
Lovely. Thank you. And I will also include a link to your podcast in this podcast show notes. Well, Paula, we have covered quite a lot of ground, but is there any final thought that you would like to leave our audience with, maybe a summary or just some key points?
Sure. Yeah, I love that question. I think for me, what stands out, we go back to the beginning when you started. You said, you know, everything's vibration, we're all vibration. And one of the things I'd like to leave people with is to tune into themselves and where they are tuned. And am I tuned into a vibration of love, compassion, creating space for other people and spaciousness and allowing, or am I tuned into defense and hyper alertness and contraction? Because our vibrations influence the people around us. And whether we pay attention to it or not, we are tuning forks and we are emanating our frequency and influencing. And so I always like to bring that into the conversation and to simplify it and to allow people to become a little just more curious about it. And it will show up in your voice tone, your cadence, how you move through your day. There's so many messages that we get from our body that tell us about, how am I vibrating?
Thank you. I love what you just shared, that we are tuning forks, because we are. And I would like to invite our listeners, if there was only one thing that you could remember from this conversation, let it be it, that we are all walking tuning forks. And so what we are projecting in terms of energy is affecting other people. Thank you so much, Paula. It's been such a pleasure to have you on Quantum Living.
Thank you, Anna. It's been lovely spending time with you. Thank you again for creating the space for this.
Thank you. That's all for today, folks. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you really loved it, please post a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to encourage others to listen to it. For the show notes, guest and podcast info, reviews, comments, and much more, please visit quantumlivingpodcast.com. And if you'd like to dive deeper into quantum living and explore how you could work with me, please contact me, and I'd be delighted to help and support you on your quantum journey. I am your host, Anna Anderson. I look forward to connecting with you in the next episode of Quantum Living. Until then, keep your vibrations high and be well.